AM Studios, brought to you by Old Mutual.
Hello, everybody, and a warm welcome to Nasty C's Zulu Man with Some Power podcast series brought to you by M Studios by Old Mutual. Right now, I am coming at you guys from M Studios in Newtown, which is an incredible world-class facility that was put together by the good people at Old Mutual. As you can see, they've got a dope stage behind me with incredible lighting and a full PA system. There's a recording studio, a boardroom, and so many other facilities that you guys can use if you want to take your career to the next level. For more information, make sure you check out this website that is strapped below. Since the very beginning of his career, Nasty C has been a big thinker. He's always tried to do things differently, and that's probably why he's advanced to the international level where he is today. So to celebrate the release of his third album, Zulu Man with Some Power, he has called upon some industry professionals to break down what really happens behind the scenes in the music industry. So whether you're an artist, whether you're a content creator, whether you're an aspiring music manager, there's so much cool information in the series that you definitely want to check out. In this historic episode, we bring three entertainment heavyweights together. A Scoop sits down with Nasty C and Black Coffee to discuss what it really takes for a local artist to forge a global career in music. They talk about the intense work ethic that you have to have. They talk about how you actually have to go out there and look for these opportunities, because we all know that they don't come looking for you. They also give us tips on what you can look forward to in your international career and a few things that you should avoid. The time is now. Let's go.
M Studios, brought to you by Old Mutual.
Welcome to Zulu Man with Some Power podcast. And today we have our guests, Nasty C, Black Coffee. Have you guys ever been in the same space outside of your gig?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, we have.
It's great to see you guys together.
Yes, man. Yeah.
I'm always here. I don't know why I'm saying that.
you thank you for the setup, you know.
It's crazy.
It looks really amazing. I love what you did with the aesthetic, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The podcast is really about, this one specifically, is talking about the journey of local to global. Mm-hmm. And global, not only talking about the Americas, as everybody always just sticks around to. Mm-hmm. Before you guys blew up overseas, you guys had to transcend the borders of South Africa into Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went your European, you went your Asian for some of us, you know? Yeah. So it's really a global thing and not just an American thing that we're going to be looking at here.
Yeah.
First of all, Zalqala Ngawe Boot Coffee, going global for you in your mind, when did it start being something you were thinking about and playing with?
Ever since I was a kid, man.
Sure.
Yeah, ever since I was a kid. Funny enough, this weekend I went away. I was at Mthatha, where I grew up. I was born in Durban. On Thursday, I was in Durban. When I was 8 and parents divorced, then the kids, we were moved to stay with our grandmother in the Eastern Cape. It was like totally like different space, like in every sense, you know. But I was born in Mlazi, there's lights on the streets. There's proper sanitaries, there's electricity in the house, there's big televisions, to Gagogo, where there was like candles, Mozo Geza, you have to boil water and bath in a dish. My grandmother had cows, so I became that guy who every morning before school, I went to milk the cows, and after school, my entire childhood. And that's where it happened, you know, on that route.
Wow.
Every day, because I was alone, you know, and sometimes on holidays, I would look after the cows like a shepherd, like I would stay out on the field. That's where most of my like daydreaming thing happened. And I used to literally just talk, like I would love, this is what I would like to do. Mm. Like I knew that I did not belong there, you know. I knew that I was there, as young as I was, I knew that I was there. It was like training for me, because I'd seen the city. Every time I'd question, like, as a kid, because it was tough, like, I would be like, why am I here? Why did I see the other side first, you know? But I knew that I was here for a reason. And as a kid, I used to be like, this is what I want to do. I want to travel the world. Every time I would see a shooting star, because there, stars are so clear. I would wish for that. Like, I wanted to be like an international artist. I didn't even know what it meant. Like, the other day, I posted a tweet in the car. I was in the car with Asha, going to Manlane in Pretoria.
Casual.
We were going to a gig and we were listening to our song. That's why I posted that. Then I tweeted, like, it's so funny that growing up, I literally used to dream about this. How international superstars would come to my town. And my town was Umtata, by the way. And then hang out with me.
Wow.
Like, literally, I would see Michael Jackson coming for a show, but then before the show, he'll come to my house.
I feel you.
You know, my grandmother would cook us.
I feel you.
And literally, like, then Suze comes to my house. We would do a bribe for him, you know, like, Usher comes. It's like, I want to go to a gig with you, you know, like, Pharrell comes and, you know, like, but it's always been, like, a dream for me.
And at the time when you were at your grandmother's place in the farms, you knew it was going to be in music?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know why, how.
Okay.
And I didn't know what I would do, you know. So the DJing thing started, you know, I was probably like 14. And then it turned out like I was actually special, you know. So the guys who had the sound system used to come to my grandmother and ask to take me with. And she did not understand, like, why are you taking this kid away? They were like, no, we want to go with him. There's a graduation party somewhere. He's really good. We want to, you know, we'll bring him tomorrow.
Sure.
So every weekend now, it was my thing, you know, to go and do these gigs. And because I was doing it different than they were doing, you know, then it was a DJing thing. Then I started music, you know.
Showcase, Botong.
Yeah.
That's crazy. When now? At Kalanin?
9 years old. Grade four. Grade four. This bus, you know, these micro buses that are like fully fitted. The sound is there.
Of course. They even removed the back seats.
Yeah, make it spacious. We used to take one of those to school. There's this guy that used to drive us to school every day. And he used to always play music, like, I used to play like a lot of R&B, slow jams, a lot of Mariah Carey. I remember that for sure. Yeah. Like that Touch My Body, that song. So he used to play that type of music. And then one day he just started playing hip hop. And that's when I heard Talk Back, the remix, T.I., Young Jeezy, and a couple other guys. And I don't know, I guess like it's like the 808, the jewelry, the clothes, the cars, the whole thing just took me. And then, okay, later on that day, my brother already had the FL Studio and he was already making house beats like all the time. So before I even like found out about hip hop, I used to always sit there with him while he was making his beats, doing my own thing, probably eating or taking a nap or whatever. But because he was the oldest and I was the youngest, we would always be the first ones to get home.
Sure.
Before everyone else in the meal. So I used to be around him anyways, watching him make beats, but not really paying attention. And then after the school bus incident, like, I just asked him to teach me how to make beats. And I actually started off making Gorm beats, though.
Wow.
Can you imagine? That's Durban.
For real.
I started off making Gorm beats, got the hang of it, and then I started remaking beats like Lollipop, Kiss Me Through the Phone, you know what I mean? All those songs. I started remaking those beats and, like, re-rapping what these guys said, but, like, changing a couple words to make it sound like it came from me type.
Yeah.
And just like what he said, every single time I did that, I always like imagined vividly one of those artists working with me, like in my space. You know what I mean? Like that's just how I always saw it. Yeah. It was like at the time, you gotta understand, I'm rapping in English. First of all, I'm one of the only kids in the whole neighborhood that goes to a white school.
Sure.
So already I'm like I'm different from everybody else. Now I'm rapping in English. These people don't even really understand what I'm saying. So nobody really saw the vision. Even like within like at home,
the only family,
the only person that really entertained it was Usia, my big brother, because he taught me how to use it, and I ended up learning so much that I used to teach him how to do some of this stuff. So he used to entertain it, and he used to take me to this other guy, Andy, his name is Slaves Whisper. He took me to his place, Ifagaz, long walk, like an hour and some change, crossing two rivers on the way to get there.
telling you, bro,
just to record one song or an idea, or just to make a beat, or just to soak up some game, just sit there around him, you know what I mean? And that's just how it happened, man. Like, the more I started noticing how far I'm actually willing to go for this one thing and notice how much I hated everything else, like school and a bunch of other stuff, I realized, yo, this is really what I want to do. This is the only time I really feel like I have a purpose or I'm special. You know what I mean?
So one thing definitely that can be taken out of those first round of answering questions is the fact that you hear it all the time. It's become new age knowledge now. You guys watching The Secret or talking about energy and frequency. frequency, yeah. or I receive it, yeah. channeling, all these new age words that exist for these things that have been done without no training or formal introduction yeah. to them. The fact of the matter is it does have to start in your mind.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You have to really see it yeah. and live it in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it's like? You pick two different people, right? Somebody that wants to build a house and somebody that's just there, just sitting. If you give those two people tools, only one person is going to use those tools. Though. Like if I give this person Nipale, for sure, and this and that, and they don't want to build a house, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? So this information passes us all, but only some of us really have something to do with it. And that's how it happens. If already you want to build a house, but you know what you're lacking, and then you see that or you hear it somewhere, you're going to use it. Like, it's like that. I feel like it's like that.
Showcase.
It's like that.
From it then becoming this thing that you imagine vividly, when for you as an individual, did you feel that now you were tangibly getting to your dream?
I used to be in a group, Ishan, you know, which had a great success in KZN. At the time we were students, you know, we were the first students in the music faculty to have a recording deal. You know, it was a new thing and the school supported us. We were like looked after by the school. If we needed a studio, we were offered a studio because we were uplifting the music department. That's where I'm from. I'm a DJ already, bedroom DJ, you know. So my influence in the group is that, like, music is the groove, it's the rhythm, you know. So I'm not very much involved in anything else. You know, Ushoda is the lead singer and he can sing. You know, Demo is a keyboard player because he studied piano. We are all music students. So you don't really see my input when we come out, when we perform, because it's done.
I hear you.
You know, so I was always the quiet one. You know, like, remember in my figures, the guy who passed away, they were always like, what does he do in the group? I was that guy.
Sure.
You know, what's his input? You know, and it affected me psychologically where I was even more reserved. I mean, in interviews, I would sit like this, I would just keep quiet, you know, and the guys would talk. And, you know, so it took me a while to get to a space where I'm like, okay. So the guy that we used to be signed to, Robert, we had a meeting about being released out of the label, his label, and it was cool. It's like, okay, it's okay, I'll give you clearance, but I want Nati to produce a remix album for me. We were all shocked because, like, me, like, why would you think that, you know, like, I'll take such a responsible and big thing? Even then, I wasn't sure of myself. I said, in front of them, I will do it, but with them. He's like, I don't care who you do it with, but I want your leadership and your ear, you know? And that was a turning point for me.
Wow.
You know, to have someone believing in me that much, and this guy's name is Robert Trans, and he was like, you are going to do it. And the following day, we went to Crest. I was living in Pretoria. To get an iMac computer, loaded programs, headphone, jack in. That was my studio.
So for us who don't know who Robert?
Robert Trans is a guy who used to own the label that I signed us as Shana. You know, he had a label called Mel 2000. He was like so much involved with African music. You know, he had signed Busim Hlongo, the late Moses Mulelegwa, like all the South African, like, amazing artists were there, you know. So he was so much invested in African music. And Susan Berry, who was our lecturer, was a keyboard player for Busim Hlongo.
But in your mind, so when you got this opportunity to do this remix, you already, because for me, I was expecting an answer like, when I got on that jet with P. Diddy, I know.
Yeah.
But it was even before that.
Yeah, it's like maybe like 2000.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, then I have this iMac computer and a program that I didn't really know. Then I started just working. Like, I would hardly sleep. I was just trying to do this remix album. And so he was giving me all these stems, and eventually I would do other songs as well, you know. And fast forward, I had an album. And when the album was ready, I had only two songs from him, which were on my first album, which he was cool with. He was like, whatever you want to do, you know. And I went to Oskido. Oskido gave me a deal, you know. That's how my first album came out.
That's crazy. For you, bruv, when did you realize that, yo, my dreams of going international might be actually a reality?
I don't think that it happened in, like, it was like one incident that stood out. I think it was just like a bunch of them happening and like me starting to realize it's, oh, like, shit is getting real. I think it's like small things, from seeing a six-year-old sing your song with so much passion to seeing a grown-up freak out more than their kids when they see you.
Oof.
Do you know what I mean? It's moments like that that made me realize, oh, there definitely has to be something in that music, though. It's beyond just like a sound or whatever. You know what I mean? I think that's how I really got to notice.
Your big break globally, what would you say that was? Yeah, what was it? Actually,
I don't know, man. I think, well, the ones that stood out for me, and I know these are going to be the weirdest ones, but it wasn't like famous people per se, like in the music industry. I started getting like follows from like, I remember this one porn star from LA. So I was like, yo, I was like, what? This person is in LA shaking their ass to my music.
She's waiting, you know what I mean? She's waiting for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I took screenshots, bro. I used to go on my Twitter just to check if she was still following me, you know? And I think those are like one of those moments. And I like 2 days, maybe 4 days ago, I remember I found myself smiling over something that people look at as something that only like up and coming artists should celebrate, because it's like, it's so small if you just look at it, but for me it means a lot. I saw these tweets from like a fan in Chicago, random girl, not popping on Twitter or Instagram or nothing. She's got like 500 something followers, and she was like, yo, people need to stop sleeping on Nasty C. And I'm like, maybe that's just like one tweet. And then I scroll down, I see her quoting lines and stuff.
That's crazy.
And then she starts saying, I should have been on Moneybag's album, I should have been on this guy's album.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's when you start growing that organic, natural foundation in a foreign land, I think that's when you start to go, yeah.
Sure, it's happening.
Yeah, like I found myself smiling over that, though. I was like, yeah.
And you don't smile.
Yeah, I was like, what? That's crazy.
Where now, put coffee?
So, Oskido, Christos, Greg, Fresh.
Yeah.
Used to do this. I think Glenn as well. They used to do South African Music Conference.
Yeah.
So they would bring like producers and DJs, you know, to give like lectures. And then 1 year they had Frank Roger, who's a producer and a DJ. Who came with Lionel, who was his manager, and he used to be a sound engineer. So they did their lectures, and at that time I started making all these songs, you know. Then I don't know if it's Chris, I think it's Chris, who gave them. And like a few weeks later, they reached out, they said they wanted to license 2 songs and put them on vinyl. It's like strictly like vinyl, underground, club DJ stuff, you know. And one song is Teta, which is like full Xhosa song, which I thought was like, wow, this is a label in France. They want to license a Xhosa song sung by Victor Ndoni that I had remixed. The second song is Even Though, sung by Bantu Soul, also a remix. Cool. Did the licensing. Few months later, it was around Feb, Lionel reaches out, texts me, are you cool? I'm thinking of bringing you to
Paris. Lionel Richie.
Lionel reached out to me.
Okay.
Lionel, the guy who was managing Frank.
Sure.
He used to manage a club in Paris as well called the Jeune.
Mm-hmm.
And he started like, we want to book you for the show at the June. It's not paying much. I was like, okay, you know, I went. And that night literally just changed everything for me, because I hardly play my music when I DJ. And the guy we were having dinner with, he was like, you need to play Turn Me On, which I don't like doing that, you know, like you need to play your songs. So eventually, I mean, towards the end of the night, I played Turn Me On. And this is like in France, you know, there's a crew who drove from Amsterdam for this gig. Everyone knew every lyric to the song, and I played the song with Bantu Soul, and that night changed everything.
Wow.
That's when I knew that, okay, cool. Even Lionel was like, okay, we need to have a meeting. I need to manage you.
Sure.
You know, he's still my manager today.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people only see the glitz of the whole thing. I would like you guys to really talk about the work. I mean, just let alone the studio, but to break internationally, you need to get on those planes. Mm-hmm. You need to land, and the itinerary is there. Sometimes you don't even have time to check into the hotel. You're going straight to interviews, you know? Can you just talk about the work behind the scenes, you know? There's an analogy at Disney World. When Disney World started, Walt Disney would be so adamant at the workers not showing the people how the work is done. You must just see it as a pristine, proper product.
Mm-hmm.
But in the background, Ispan, Senzi, almost like the duck as well. You see a duck gliding nicely on the water. So give us, we see you guys gliding.
Yeah.
We see you guys flying.
Yeah.
Give us the paddle.
For me, it's just doing all these interviews, these dinners with people. Sometimes going to the club or a bar. I don't even do bars. If I'm in Tokyo and the people that we came there to meet, if they do bars, I'm doing bars too.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm at the bar with them. We're drinking. We're talking about everything else besides business. We're talking about culture, this and that. Just like exchanging good information, you know what I mean? And then when it comes down to the business, already that person already sees you for who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And I think that makes everything else easier. You know what I mean? They tend to want to take a chance on you a bit more. You know what I mean? Even if they see it, we'll see. This is gonna require like a lot of hard work and dedication.
Mm.
For me, that's just always been it. And of course, just like going left when everyone else is going straight or right. Just don't be afraid to go left. If everyone wants to go to one place, just go left.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one.
Yeah.
And I'm like that guy as well. Like fully on everything that I do.
Wow.
Because I've seen miracles. I've seen things I believe in, like really, like coming true. So I'm very stubborn when it comes to the things I want. I believe in my gut feeling so much.
Mm.
But talking about traveling and doing these bars and dinners, and my team knows, like they always tell the promoter, we're not going to promise that he'll come to dinner, because promoters want to bring you to dinner. Mm. They're like, all the DJs do it.
Mm.
And so I used to get trapped in that. Like, so I learned now. I learned at 8, get to my hotel at 10. Then I must shower, go to dinner. From dinner, then I must go to the club. I have to say, no, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Mm.
You know, and my team knew, like, they tried it first. Like, but I've seen now that because some places I'm not going for the first time anymore.
Mm.
If I'm in Monaco, you know, I know Greg, the guy who manages the club. So I know exactly what I'm going out with. And he's like my guy now.
Sure.
So I'll go out and depending where I am, but he's right. And then the conversation starts, like Alejandro Agag is a guy who started Formula E. And in one of these dinners, he's like, he had booked me for a show. He's like,
wow,
so your son is into kart racing. Do you want to bring him to Formula E? Something that wouldn't have come up if I didn't make it to the dinner.
Sure.
You know, so you also, you start talking outside music, you know, you start talking man to man, or you start understanding each other even more, and then there's friendships outside.
Yeah.
You know, but traveling, I always tell everyone, like, that's what I get paid to do. I get paid to travel because DJing is my...
It's second nature for you now.
Yeah, it's my love. No one's paying me to do that. I'll do that for free anyway. But just traveling, connecting flights, taking 3 flights a day to pay for 2 hours in Japan, just 2 hours. Then I get on the next flight, I go to Singapore, 2 flights, 2 hours, take the next flight to Bali. That's what I get paid for. And it is the hardest thing.
With all that said, how detrimental is it for someone to not answer a phone, to not check a message, to not pitch up on time? How detrimental is it for someone to not be on top and on point, especially with the schedules that you guys have?
You have to.
Yeah, if you're just that person, it is gonna mess you up.
Nah.
It's gonna slow a lot of things down. It's gonna slow a lot of things down. And I'm that person naturally, not as the brand. As a person, I don't like hanging out that much. I don't really talk to people like that. I really just want to zone in on one thing with my
people. You wear earphones in the club.
You know? You know what I mean? I'm just that person. But I understand what I'm trying to do, and I understand the work that has to go in.
Sure.
For me to be able to achieve it. You know what I mean? And it's like, see what he was saying, like taking 3 flights to go somewhere where you don't know how that's going to turn out. You might not even have any fans there.
Mm.
Sometimes you get there and you don't have fans. Like, you're performing to just like random club people, and you just have to tap into that part of your mind that says, okay, cool,
I'm building
right now. Do you know what I mean? I'm building right now. And this guy took a chance on me, flew me out from all the way in South Africa. He flew me out of here one little to expose me to people that he thinks will gravitate towards my shit and will turn out to be a success at the end. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You just have to think of it like that, but and it's not easy. Not that it might not be easy. It's not easy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And if you're going in there with this artist persona, would say I'm big back at home.
Mm.
No.
I don't have to come in the club.
You know what I mean?
That's gonna mess you up.
Mm.
Like, that's really gonna mess you up.
It goes back to Jay-Z said, I'm the business.
Yes.
That's it. You know, not picking up a call, you know, you are what you are selling.
Yeah.
What are you missing on? You know? And for me, I mean, maybe different from him, with different generations, how we grew up and what business is for us is like Hotmans who are older than me, don't do it like I do it.
Sure.
He's not going to do it like I do it.
Sure.
I'm better than them. He's going to be better than me. And so what happens is there's a big mind shift that has to happen for you to fully understand that you are the business. You know, from Elokshini, you know, Elokshini, okay, Zile, man, you look nice. So I was there as a normal Zile. That's a mind
And this is I'm sorry to cut you, but this is one of our biggest problems. I'm telling you right now, and I don't mean to sound like a person that just like it's on the place that they're from, sure. But this is the mindset that we have here in South Africa. I don't see it anywhere else. Anywhere else, when people get dressed, even if you're going to, it don't really come together, but you can see the effort that they're trying, put in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People give it to you, dog, and they make you feel like you're the shit. You know what I mean?
It happens a lot in the States.
Yeah.
They compliment a lot.
You know what I mean?
T-shirt, shoes.
And over here,
listen, I get compliments from random people.
If they don't have it, or they can afford it, or they don't understand it,
then it's like
boom.
But it's a motherfucker because it messes you up, you know? It messes you up. And so now you're like...
You pull yourself downwards.
Yeah. And... I don't think our people are even aware.
That's the thing. They're not aware
because it's been done so much. You know, that's why, you know, and then you grow up knowing that, you know, people think you think you're better, you know, and it's a problem. So there's a certain mind space you need to tap into. Sure. When you want to go to a certain level.
Yes.
When you're from here, where you're like, you are deaf. You need to be deaf. Yes. Like,
true.
You need to be deaf. And I remember like 2012, I think, I wanted to do Africa Rising. And I'm like, I want to do this show, you know, like with 24-piece orchestra and I DJ. So I'm starting again. Like, oh my God, you're starting.
I'm telling you.
You know, if I heard that, I heard it, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You know, if I wasn't deaf to that, I'd also think, what the f***? Who do I think I am?
Yeah.
You know, because that question comes up a lot in our community. Like,
which is something I guess he's dealing with now a lot with.
You have to be deaf.
Yeah.
You had to be, because so many people have opinions on what you should sound like, listen, which words you should use.
I see it all
the time. See, for me right now, like, I entertain it because... Like, I find it fun now these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I find it fun. I mastered something that I saw from this guy, David Goggins. It was like his whole method and his way of thinking is run towards the beast. Don't try to run away from it. So
sure.
For a lot of years, I used to duck all these tweets. Like every time, if I'm trending, I'll go on the shit and I read the good one. As soon as I see a bad one, I scroll very quickly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I saw that guy, I started to just like put it to practice. I started trying it out. And every time I saw a bad comment, click right on it. I read it in full. I go to your profile, I look at you, I'm like, fuck out. And I'm on to the next. You know what I mean?
That's the way to do it, right?
Yeah, dog. And then you realize, yo, it doesn't really matter, bro. I've been told by the people most closest to me, like when I was still starting out, this is not gonna happen. I was told by my father, the only parent I had, my only superhero in the world told me, just leave this thing alone.
Son.
And not even in like, son, this is not gonna work. It was like, you keep doing this and you fuck up your marks, all the school fees that I'm paying for, you're gonna have to pay me back that shit. It was scary, bro. You know what I mean? So if a random person is just gonna tell me, it doesn't do nothing.
You know, it's tough, man.
Yeah,
it's really tough. Even if the structure's there, it's all up here where we come from.
It is, right?
Makes it tougher. You know, also because our people will lift you up
just to be ready to.
Yeah.
When it's time to put you down,
they will come for you.
Hey,
you
know, we'll see.
We are learning a lot of things. I mean, one of the things that I feel like I also made a mistake on, like as an advice to you as well, is you build a team. You know, you have a team, and also it's something that was never done before me. Like promoters used to like swear at my team, like, this is how much Black Coffee is going to charge. But then with VET, it's going to be so much. They're like, what are you talking about? I don't pay VAT for this one and this one. What is VAT? You know, I'm going to pay you cash. I'm like, whoa, you can't, you know, because we were building something legit and we wanted to also educate our industry and grow in the right way. And so something that I didn't get involved in much was how involved I am in my business.
Sure.
Because I knew I had the best people, you know. And now, like, moving forward, if you're gonna send any email that has my name, I don't care what, if the deal is gonna happen or not, CC me. That's it. That's all, because I am the business.
Straight up.
Do you understand what I mean?
Understood.
I am the product. I am the Big Mac. So if you leave and I have no information how we became 29 rands 99, how will I carry forward?
Showcase.
You know, so before I would let people run, they have my new work email. But now, show me, even the smallest conversation, even if it's for an interview, I need to be CC'd.
Got you.
I need a track record of everything that has to do with me so that when you're gone and there's someone new, there's all the conversations and how we even got to where we are today, how we kept raising the price, who's booking me, you know, who's been booking me for all over the years. I wasn't even aware how much they're paying, because we also deal with like people's egos. You know, your manager could have issues you don't know of.
Just himself.
You know,
got you.
And
that's a very big point.
Yeah. I'm going to mention names. I mean, I look at this guy, he calls himself the authority.
Onoda.
Yeah. I look at him. I really mention, I look at him. And as a person, I wouldn't want to be managed by a guy like that.
Yeah.
Just I'm saying, as a person, when you see the authority he's fishing for, he calls himself the authority already. But how he's trying to, and so you can get a guy like that to manage you, but you're not aware of his persona, and you give him your entire brand, and you don't know the conversations, you don't know how he's treating your clients and everyone who's making you money, you know. And I'm saying these are the mistakes we make. You're like, I have a team, don't talk to me, you know. Yes, don't, but I need to understand.
Yeah.
I need to know how the deal was going to happen if it didn't.
Sure.
Who messed the deal up? Was it me? Was it you? Was it your ego? Was it, you know, I need to know.
Sure.
I don't have to respond.
But you must have.
Because it's my business. Yeah. You know, I need to have the track record of every conversation that has to do with me.
Wait, sometimes we learn those things the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was out of nowhere. It was just like drama all over the place. Like, you know what I mean? People started looking at. And the messed up thing is when there's that one bad apple in the pack.
Man.
People look at you guys and like, I don't want to work with them.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I would say that luckily for me, I took these as like hints. A lot of the people that we did business with came up to me and was like, is there any way we can talk to you directly?
There you go,
And then I started to pick up the problem. I was like, what is the issue anyways? I was like, okay, cool. You seem to be the person in the center of all these things. You know what I mean? So sometimes we learn that the hard way as artists, and especially hip hop, where it's like everyone wants to be this big band.
Yeah,
and everyone else must run for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? That shouldn't work like that.
Yeah, but and it's all new, by the way.
It's all new.
It's new that there's me. It's new that there's him, and at his age, I mean, how is he going to be able to just know? You know, it's all new. So we're always learning. And unfortunately, sometimes we learn too late and we have lost so much, you know?
I also want to touch on the point of the more you talk to great people who've achieved things that weren't there before them, you realize like they can separate what they do from who they are. Just the way you guys were talking about going overseas and having meetings with people, how important, just to speak on how important it is to be a respectful human being, because no matter how your talent can be so astounding, if I was Okwazi, ubang ufistas, meaning you don't mix well. Uzaba saying like,
you always dropping bars. This guy, this guy's always dropping bars every time.
You understand? And that's the thing that I find a lot. Now, having gone and met people, I haven't seen it overseas. I don't live overseas, so I wouldn't know. I'm sure it happens. But because I live in South Africa and I had wishes of a lot of artists in South Africa reaching heights that I thought were possible for them. The older I got, I realized that, hey man, it's not this guy's talent that's the problem. Umzala, singo mix well. So, mina ke ngoku, you guys have struck me as those individuals. And even when you talk, there's so many similarities already without having you guys spend time together.
Yeah.
But you are born to go to Lendo, number wayo, its DNA is actually in the brain and in the human and character makeup.
Yeah.
So just expound on that for the up and coming generation, because I'm really big on talking to the up and coming generation. I feel like my generation is scarred, and there's so little you can do to those scars. They have to fix themselves. But what I don't want to do is lose faith because of the old generation for the new generation. So now when I tweet, I don't even tweet anymore, but my gram, and when I in my mind, I'm talking to the young kids.
Yeah.
So Can you tell them about how important it is? Especially because sometimes the example of success up in Lini, you guys don't talk a lot. You guys don't put things out there a lot. Yeah. So they might 90% of the time get one side of what success looks like.
Yeah, true.
And they hardly get to see the other side of, oh man, if I gotta make it and be that dope, I gotta be that nice.
Yeah. Man. I mean, you know some of my stories. You know some of the guys that I've exchanged like conversations with. And I've told you how shocked I am. Like I was, you know, being able to have not just access, but see how cool they are.
Mm.
You know, like I'll take a Jay-Z and a Beyonce, you know, played at their party 2 years ago and in LA, the Oscar after party thing.
Yes, sir.
And finished playing, I was standing across the room and Beyonce literally walked across the room, you know, to come say thank you.
That's crazy, man.
You know, like to come say thank you. And she was there. I was never going to go to her.
Mm.
You know, I was never going to go to her. And she came and she said, thank you so much. You know, you are so talented. She said, I don't even know how they got you here.
Mm.
She kept saying that. Like, I don't even know how they booked you to play here, you know? And Jay-Z was behind her. I'm like, this guy,
yeah.
You know? And Jay-Z had just literally just sent me a text on my phone. I had no phone numbers. I had no contact before. I just got a message saying, yo, it's Hove.
It's Hove. I read the message. That's crazy. On our way to go see Tatu Credo Mutu to Kuruman, 5 hour drive.
That's crazy.
He literally was driving. He's like, pass, scoop this and read it out loud to the people. There was like maybe 8 of us in the car. And then I read this message. Yo, it's Hove. Oh man, this is a blessing. This is his reply. To what do I owe this honor?
Yeah.
Hove is like, yo, I want you to come play at my party. Oscar, blah, blah, blah. This guy says to Hove, I'm gonna have to check my schedule and ask my manager.
Hey, dog.
So Hove is like, yeah, do what you gotta do. Let me know. If there is an issue, we will PJ you. Because it was supposed to be in Spain. You were going to be in Spain.
In Italy.
In Italy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that.
But for me, the lesson is like the two biggest artists in the world. I mean, and Drake.
Drake. The story about Drake. Also, please tell the story about Drake because that's also like shows at night.
You know?
We are Utrecht, we're light skinned. We are born with it. We're soft. We found peace. We're soft. So I was chilling.
So I was in Toronto. I mean, this is years after I've done a song with Drake. And I was in Toronto. Then I get a DM like, yo, what time you play tonight? There's a rumor actually that he owns the penthouse at the hotel where I was staying. So he could have been at the penthouse.
Sure. Yeah.
So he's like, okay, I want to come through. I'm like, wow, okay, cool. Then in the middle of my set, like, this is a club gig. You know, yes, it was like a big room, but it was a club gig.
So he has to move in between people.
No, I'm on stage.
Sure.
You know, hence I'm saying it's like a bigger venue.
Yeah.
Then he just walks in and people lost their minds. I mean, this is Drake in a club, a house music gig.
Straight up.
You know?
Yeah.
And he walked in and that's how I knew he was in the house because I was just playing.
Mm.
You know, he came to say hi, cool. He was in the corner vibing. After the set, we literally like had a like short conversation. Cool, cool. I left. Then after he's like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, I'm going to New York.
I love those.
You know, he's like, we're also going to New York. You can come on our jet. You know, I'm like, what time? You know, he's like, that's we crazy. Leave after 6. I'm like, no, I can't. I leave early.
Oh, Shang, it's Tina Jalo.
No, because I was going to Trevor Noah's show.
Yeah.
And I needed to be in New York by 12. So I'm like, I'm going, yeah,
that's beautiful,
you know, man. I'm just saying man-to-man conversation. Yeah. Here's my number, you know, and recently he changed it. He was like, here's my new number.
That's crazy.
You know, like if we can't learn from
that, great, like we're here, that.
Like having a human to human conversation,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, Jay has a team, which is why after our conversation, my manager and his manager, whoever was taking off the show, did their thing.
Mm.
And a week after, he sends me a text saying, yo, I can't get over your set.
Mm.
And I'm like, nah, I'm like, okay, thank you, man. A week later, again, he's like, yo, I still can't get over your set. This is Jay-Z on my phone, you know? If I can't learn, you know, from such people who have done everything,
mm-mm.
you know, literally everything, you know. But it, for me, because I was always there anyway, you know, I was raised by my grandmother who instilled like respect. And I say this to my son a lot, who he has so much humility. And I say, it's not even me. Some kids raise themselves, you know, you see what's right and what's wrong. You could grow up in an environment that is vile, but you choose what's right and what's wrong. I can't be anything else. You know, I don't care how much money I make. I don't care how many countries I've seen. I don't care how many shows I sell out. I don't care how many properties I own. I don't care what I achieve. It's for me alone. It doesn't mean I need to see people any different. You know, which is why I was saying to you, there must be a reason why I left where I was born.
To get, go to the farm.
To go see people. You know, every like now when I was in the Eastern Cape driving, seeing a kid walking with cows. I'm in a Lambo, dude. Do you understand? Like this, these are the roads that I used to literally, like that kid walk like with cracks on my feet. You know, I see that kid, I'm like, that's me.
That's beautiful, bro.
You know, even if I then would stop and walk, a guy who would pass in a Lambo, that's still me.
Straight up. Straight up.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
So, straight up.
Exactly.
There's no where you can learn to have humility.
That's so beautiful in the way, because you talked about that when you were young, you took it full circle back to that when you were talking about when you were young and your dreams of like your artists and they want to chill with you, and you told that story.
You became
and you took
that.
Us back. And then I loved when you said some kids raise themselves. I feel that way about him.
Me too.
Like I met him, I think he was 17 turning 18 in Durban before Blow Up. And when he was performing, I didn't know who he was. He was performing at a party. I'll give you a shout out, Babs, 5th anniversary. I won't give the club a shout out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't give you free drink.
You understand? So I perform with Juice Beck. I have literally begged Vuzu to come and shoot Durban with me because I'm tired of just showing Joburg. Having lived everywhere, I wanted to show the kaleidoscope of the country. So they did come through Ivuzu. After long deliberation, they said, okay, we'll send you there with like one cameraman and one sound guy. We'll see what you will do. That's all I need.
Yeah.
It's a figure, pa. Gig goes well. He's performing. And I'm interviewing people. You know those boxes while the performance is happening. How you doing? How you feeling? Dibe lengoma. Hey, after this interview, Niti, who the hell is this? And see, 18, I trip out like, wow. Then I'm like, who can I speak to him after he's done? They point me to his manager. I walk to his manager. I beg his manager. I'm like, this is Vuzu, the end. But the nigga looks at me like, yeah, no,
no. See what I'm
saying?
Like, oh, see what I'm saying?
You see, he kind of told me, I'll be like, you perform at you. Eat it a prayer for sure, grand. Hey, Dili. Dilinde. Put coffee. I grab a performer Lendwana. Dilindi le ne cameraman. Dilinde unesti si. U David. Nsega yesizwe. Dilindi. Unesti si afi. Go kudzuli 15 minutes. Kudzuli 30. Kudzuli 45. I'm already still giving him the artist respect because I'm like, he's this dope and he lives in Durban. He probably already has that. Yo, I'm just chill.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
Hey. Diye manager. Nite manager. He play out after 45 minutes. It's a manager. Oh man. Ah, wait for it. Wait for it. He drove his DJ home.
The artist.
The artist. The 17, turning 18 year old artist who just killed his set, who was being waited for by Vuzu cameras, just quickly had to drive the DJ. Did you tell him? He's like, ah, I forgot. I'm like, no ways. So now I'm rolling with the crew. And the crew mostly, he had to do tears and get silinda lendwana. Silinda for you, Rea, boy. We did the interview. Amazing. Anyway, but what I want to add on to that is that I then knew the character I was dealing with from that he drove his DJ home line.
Oh, I see.
That's when I was like, different.
Yeah.
Different. So you know, for you, what is it about you? Like, not what is it about you, but talk to me about your view on how important it is to remain the way you are.
With me, it's something that was instilled in me when I was a kid. Just the house I grew up in. If you look at my brother, he's the exact same way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's just the way we were raised. But see, Itaima always put the respective part of it. No matter how old or young that person is, you just have to be a respectful person. You know, and Mina, coming into the music industry, it's not like I had so many people telling me I was the dopest and I felt like invincible to the point where I was just like, I'm the guy. I wasn't that person. I understood my role in the music place, but I also understood my role as a person, as a human. That's why even till this day, like when I meet people, every time people ask me, yo, so what was it like meeting up with so-and-so? One of the things I notice I always point out is that person wasn't an artist to me.
Mm. Yeah.
They didn't come to me as the brand or as the artist or as the ego. Do you know what I mean? They were like a human. They spoke to me on a human level. I just think that's something that's in my DNA from just the way I was raised.
Coffee gave us two great tales, and I know that I've got two great tales that I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, as much as I chill and talk to you, I don't offer you a lot of things. But now it's this opportunity. Japan, Post Malone.
Same thing. So we get there. So Sage already told him, yo, Nasty C is coming over. He just wants to say what's up. Post is like, okay, cool. So we get there at Hooters. First of all, we get there. This guy is just drinking. He's wearing a Hooters shirt on top of his outfit. So he took it off of one of the girls and he was just like, he just threw it on.
So posty.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So he was just there. Dog, we're there, we dap each other up, da 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 da. We didn't even talk about music, though. I swear to God, we didn't even talk about music. We were just like, oh, so what are you guys doing here? Oh, we here for work. Oh, I'm just here on vacation, da 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 da. Gives me a cigarette, we smoke and shit, you know what I mean? And then he ends up being like a situation where he's just like focused on what he's doing and I'm just like drinking on the side also. Do you know what I mean? But what I learned from that also, this is like he's a cool person. And almost all the artists I met are like that. To be honest with you, like the only artist I met that was like, that gave me that artist feel, and they were wearing shades too, which just makes it worse. You know what I mean? It was an African artist. I'm not gonna say the name.
Ooh, yeah, you wanna go on the name?
Yeah, I'm not gonna say the name.
Yeah, you wanna go on the name? I'm telling you. It was home soil.
Yeah, no, he's not from South Africa.
The continent.
But yeah, so she said dome, we at the dome, dog, and so I just came off stage, dog, I'm hyped, I'm so happy, dog, like Future just caught me on stage.
For sure.
Dog, I'm psyched, though. I'm like the happiest person in the whole.
Yeah, we remember that handover.
Yeah, dog, do you know what I mean? So I come out and I think me and Teddy run out of our little green room. But we're just excited. I don't even know where we were going. And then we saw him. I was like, oh, Hatim Bingane Lupa on the fence. Because I knew his music from when I was still in high school, just listening to him. Hatim Bingane Lupa on the fence. So I'm going to go manage Tati Tep. I'm not going to go to the village. I'm going to go to the village. Okay, I go to the village.
Is that Dems a hip hop?
Yeah. Dog, I'm telling you, bro.
Wow.
I'm telling you. And then what's funny is that just because, I don't know, I think because it kind of, I don't know, it triggered a part of me. A part of me I'm not so proud of, but I'm glad. But a part of me I'm glad I have, because some people need to see that part of you just so they know, Guti, oh, I might have fouled this person.
Yes.
Let me rethink the way I approach them.
Yes.
After that, not so long after that, he hits my DM. I don't even think he noticed who I was. But that's the listening that, though. That's the listening that.
You know what I mean? Don't have to be anybody.
I don't have to be, like, just treat me with respect, though. I came up to you to greet you. I could be a fan. I could just
doesn't
be a stranger.
Matter.
Just treat me like a normal person.
Yeah.
They hit me up for a feature. I was just like, nah.
Whoa.
I told him, I said, no. I said, make sure you specify. Tell him it's not that I don't like the song or what. Just tell him, no, he does not want to do it. No, I'm telling you, like, it made me feel some type of way, bro. I'm serious, because do you know what I mean? So, and it's like all the people that I used to look up to that I met, all of them were cool. All of them were cool to me. And none of them came at me on some... Yeah. Oh, actually, some of them. But before that, before that, none of them came to me like on some. I'm your OG. Get under my wing. I've been here for some time. Learn something from me. Type. You know what I mean? Like, most of them, but so really just treated me with respect. Just ask me where you're from. Da 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 da. You're dope. You can hang around if you wanna. It's cool. There's some drinks over there. That's the shit I appreciate.
Yeah, man.
The emotions of when you are overseas, Coffee, the first set you played to that new audience, like, what was the thought process at that time for you?
I was nervous, you know, because you kind of like have an idea what they want to hear. And I'll make an example about Ibiza.
Yeah.
more than that set in Paris. Ibiza is because of what I play locally and what I play internationally. I was known as a soulful house DJ.
Sure.
So Ibiza is not a place for soulful house DJs. You know, so when I think Ibiza, I think all these big anthems and, you know, all the big songs. And so I remember then I have a booking in a club called DC10, which is like the most important club for underground house music. But I have no idea like what to play. I remember calling Temba. I'm like, man, you played 5FM?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some hits, you know?
Sure.
Give me some acapellas. I need to be ready, sure. You know? And then I went and I got there. I never get to a gig early, like too early. I don't want to hear what other people are doing. You know, I always get there like 10, 15 minutes before my set, and I did that. And so I don't get swayed away. I don't want to know what you do here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to show you what I do, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important for me. I don't want to get there and think, oh, they deep, you know, it's too electro. I don't want to know.
Those are second guesses.
I don't want to know. So I always get there late. And then I did that and I played. And my set was, I almost didn't get a second booking. I almost didn't get it, you know, because of a perception, you know, like of what I thought Ibiza was. And they were like, okay, let's try him again.
Mm.
Then I knew then the second time that, okay, now I know, you know, it's like so underground the place. And I'm a music guy. And this is what I always try to teach other DJs, especially locally. Guys are like, no, I play this. I'm like, no, play music. Mm. Meaning have different folders.
Mm.
You know, learn, like use this thing as your tool to communicate your musicality. You know, so when you call to come play Broken Beat on a Sunday, be able to, you know. That's why we have different folders on our sticks. So collect as much. Make sure it's all the stuff you like though.
Mm.
You know, like I don't have to play Gorm because everyone is playing it. You know, it must be the stuff that I like. Like every now and then, there's gonna be stuff that you like.
Mm.
Put it in your folder. One day it's gonna save your set, you know? So the second time I knew, I was like, okay. So I went from being second guest to literally like headlining that club.
That's crazy, B.
Yeah, cause then I knew I was super focused on it now. Put all my energy there, you know? Mm. Because it has always been a dream.
Mm.
But I know also where I'm from. I'm from a country where we have the dopest DJs. I don't care who you are.
Sure.
This country.
Yeah, she is something.
We have the dopest DJs. Where we are not so strong is then music selection. You know, we don't have a big vocabulary. You know, we kind of like, you want to play what you play, you know. But playing, give a guy like CDJs to play. We are the dopest man in the world. That part is a given. So I knew that I can play, but what do I play that can fit in, but also represents who I am? Like, so that people can come and know. You have to see him.
Sure.
Like, I can't explain it, but this guy, you have to see. And that's what I'm doing when I tour. Like, I look for that music that is going to make people come see me. I choose it well. And it's like, you want to say it's Afro, but it's actually not, but it is. Like, you know, because it's different, you know, and it's what makes me.
Sure.
Yeah.
When I Nasty, Colin Mengela, about a story of you having to land and go straight into the studio. I don't know who the producer was, but you know, it was like you landed, had to go to the studio. When you got into the producer, was like, yo, I got a beat, let's go. You know, you hadn't had time to rest, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So what's it like for you? What was it like your first gig overseas?
First gig, I think it was the BET After Party, I think. That was my first show in the States, if I'm not mistaken.
Where was it?
It was in LA, I think 2017. I was nervous. I remember I just looked at the whole crossover thing as me getting a second chance to come up the way I want to come up. Because Ngalalana, I didn't know what to do on stage. I didn't know if I should just jump the whole time on stage. I didn't know if I should learn how to dance. Like, I'm telling you though, at some point, coming up here, at some point, I used to do, you know that dance, Ikaraka?
Sure.
I used to do that dance because I was like, okay, maybe this will work.
Trying to get these people in.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But then when I went that side, I'd already had enough experience with like the stage this side. So I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be different in the sense that these people don't really know me. They might not even know any of the songs I'm about to perform, but I know how to capture their attention. I'm a rapper at the end of the day, so I'm gonna get up there and rap.
Yeah.
And one of my things is I'm looking dead in the eye when I'm rapping.
Mm.
Especially if you're one of those people who is just standing there, just staring at me and not really feeling it, because I have your attention clearly.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I just when you stare those people in the eye and you double down on them, dog, I'm telling you, then they start to go. So that's exactly what I did, man. That's exactly what I did. I planned my set nicely. I know I'm not coming in hot, because it doesn't sit well when you just come in with like
yes.
Bangers.
You need a crescendo.
You can come in hot if it's like your own fans.
Yeah.
Sure. Then they like stash. Yeah. You know what I mean? But sure. If it's people you don't know,
like
come in with a little acapella, so everyone's like, okay,
yeah,
who is that? You know what I mean? And by the time it picks up, everyone's already vibing with you. Or like they've decided whether or not they're gonna watch or go get a drink or whatever.
Do you guys have any routines before jumping on stage? Do you have like any routine? I've been in your dressing room. You really chill.
No, not really. But I pray, man.
You pray.
Yeah, but I pray all the time. Mm. You know, and I think also it's mostly sometimes not even a prayer. Let me just say, I always thank God.
Sure.
Like in the middle of my set. When I feel like, okay, like I'm on my fourth song.
I'm about to cry. Hold on. For real.
I'm serious. Like I'm on my fourth song and I'm like, because first two, three songs, that's when I'm getting in.
Mm.
I don't care what's playing before me, but I'm like, I'm here to tell my story.
Mm.
Those three, four songs are the most important songs for me. Yeah. And they go in well.
Mm.
Then I say, thank you, God.
I'm like,
always. Mm. Like when I'm like, okay, now we're about to have fun.
Mm.
You know, so that's it. I always like in the middle of it, you know, it happens.
Mm.
I don't even think about it. It just happens, you know. So I'm not a guy who like I will kneel and
sure
like just randomly I'll be driving and like, okay, let me just talk, you know. Yeah.
That happens to me when I'm in studio, not so much before stage. Stage, it's usually too many people around me. People checking if the sound is right. I have to check if Mark's ready. I have to check if this guy has my water. I have to check, you know what I mean? There's usually a lot of things going on there. So my mind slips, but definitely when I'm in studio. That happens every time, whether I'm laying a verse, a hook, whether I'm making a beat. I always have that moment where I'm just like, thank you, God, for the talent.
Sure.
And then I keep
That's going. Beautiful, guys. That's really dope. And speaking of music, speaking of those first experiences, now, after some time, now you have this dual audience where, for you, Coffee, especially, it is a dual audience that has been there for a while. For Honesty, like he said, it's his chance of a come up the way he wanted it in a new area, Yasemelika, and even just outside of America. So the balance. Of home, because I remember when you started, people are like, why isn't he playing home? Why isn't he getting a song? And you were like, yeah. You know, also for you now, you know, people just expect you to be this tractor drop the sand over on that side.
How do you
balance it? One part that we did get was you're deaf to all the whack noise.
Yeah.
That's one part of it. But there's also another part of it that I want to tap into. That you how do you guys maneuver that?
See, I look at it. I want to answer this first because, like, I really want to hear what you have to say more than anything.
Mm.
But I look at it like this. I look at it as I'm letting go of one crown to go get another one. Get that one there. At any point, it would never look good to put down a crown.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, me being very distant, me not doing that many features here, me not doing a lot of stuff and just being out of people's sight, it's not gonna look good. It's never gonna look good. No matter how you put it, how you try to justify it, it's never gonna look good. But I'm in this transition. It's like I'm swimming all the way to that part of the island.
Yeah.
Like I'm in the hard process of it right now.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And that's just how I look at it though. That's just how I look at it. Something's gotta give. You have to let go of this one to go catch that one.
Showcase.
Do you know what I mean?
Man, I have mixed feelings about it.
Mm.
And it could, because mostly rap music is more of an American. That's where you're mostly going to make your money.
Yeah.
And then I look at Trevor, who I feel like is done. That's how I feel.
And crossed over fully.
Yeah.
Like, meaning, let me leave this one for this one type of thing.
Mm.
You know, with me, it's a little bit different because also house music is such a big thing here. You know, bigger than other countries I go
You're right.
to.
You're
you
right.
know what I mean?
I got you.
You're and right. so I'm always caught up, like the label says, next single is 10 missed calls featuring Pharrell.
And you're saying?
The date is 17 November. And I'm like, no, next single is I'm Falling with Ryex. And we're actually going to have a fight because I do not want the Pharrell song to come out as a single.
Sure.
You know, because to them, it's like, we are growing you.
Imagine not wanting a Pharrell song to come out.
No, it's a beautiful song. Yeah. But it's, for me, it's an album song, you know? I'm very honest about it. It's an album song and it's amazing on the album. And I feel like it will be stronger when you pre-order the album and you can see there's a song, it's Pharrell. I think there's power there. But as a single coming from this country, it's not going to work. It's not even going to make radio.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I still try to balance home, but I know when not to.
Sure.
Sometimes you know? You have to let go.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Like I have a beautiful song I'm listening to in the car now with Duduzo, Makatini and yes. Muso.
Yes.
I'm listening to this beautiful song. It's sung in Zulu.
Yes.
It's beautiful. But I know it can't be on my album because it's not part of the bigger vision.
Sure.
So there is things that I'm like, I was like, China, do you want this song? You know, because he's about to release an album. And I know if I put this album, this song on the album, it's going to take me to a category I hate, which is world music.
Sure.
And I don't want that shit. Like, I do not want
Straight
it.
Up.
So they're saying, but they're basically skipping to say third world.
Yeah. I do not. You know, that's why I've always even, with the BET award, I've always had mixed feelings. Like, cool, it's a BET award, but I was given to it on Friday, you know, with the African audience. You
it's
know,
not the same, it's not the same date, you're not like, in the same room with everybody else.
You know, like it's the main show happens, you're not invited to the main show. You know, and that's the, I don't want to be in that space. And I've always said, I want the main floor.
Jesus.
Don't put me in a festival in a world music stage. You know, don't put like funny things, you know, on when you Black Coffee in Berlin, then you start putting all these like African, you know, when I'm gonna come and play first world music. Do you understand?
100%.
So it's always been a fight for me from the beginning. Like, I don't wanna end up in that small stage. You know, I don't wanna end up. That's why playing at Tomorrowland main stage last year was such
crazy.
A big thing for me.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I even the pace, it's one of those stages I was like, thank you, God. Because this is main stage, finally. I've always been afraid to play there because I felt like I need to change my tempo. And actually, I was like...
You were fine.
I took the tempo a little bit down even.
Wow.
Like, to be comfortable because I want to do it the way I want to do it.
Got you.
The minute I start doing it the way other people want to do it...
Well, you're going to lose yourself eventually. And you're not going to know your way back.
It's going to work, man.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the balance thing is, it's such a love-hate thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been going through so many transitions living in this country where I have so much passion for this country and there's so many things I want to do. Like, even with the economy.
Yeah.
There's so much I want to invest in. But then you see the hate. You know, then you see the tweets and then I'm like, actually...
Is it worth it?
I'm like, maybe I need to move to Berlin. And then, like, right in the middle of all these hate tweets, you see a person saying, Asnagutya. You know, we need electricity. Here's my electricity meter number. Please buy me electricity. And then you kind of like, man, you can't walk away from these things. You know what I mean? You know, so I've tried to for so many years and so many of my friends, like they've been telling me, leave, go, go. And I know if I left, I'll do so much better, you know, but it's like, I can't leave my people.
And you have lived overseas for some time.
Yeah,
you lived in LA for a minute.
I did New York. My kid was born in New York. I did LA, I've done Ibiza, I've lived in Europe.
It was
I'm actually applying for like citizenship in Europe.
Word. I get, guys. I get. You were supposed to be gone for predominant part of this year.
Yeah, LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be staying in LA. A couple months there, a couple months back, a couple months.
Nothing. It's still going to happen? Obviously
yeah.
not now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We get it. We get it back.
Has to happen.
It has to happen. It has to happen. We're not even going to touch on COVID. Forget it.
No. It's like, it's just the way we think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you stay here for too long, people look at you like you didn't do it. Like,
I feel you.
And if you leave, people look at you like you're a traitor.
I feel you.
It's crazy. It's like it's very weird. It's very twisted and backwards. But you just have to know. And it's like in this time, in this period where you're trying to make this thing happen, where you're taking this dive to pop up on the other side.
Yeah.
Just take whatever comes with it, man. Like sure. people are not gonna believe, people are gonna say whatever they feel about that movement or whatever. But just focus, man. Just look ahead.
Just to wrap it up. What has impressed you about his journey? Just talk about how you see the journey.
Look, the new story to me is what he was saying about his father, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't see that negatively, by the way, you know? It was his fears.
Yeah.
You know, his father was afraid for him.
Yeah.
And he could only speak the only language he understands, you know? But how he was deaf to that, it just changed everything for me. I had few people in my family who were not sure. I mean, you know, everyone is studying things that are known and I'm like studying music. So it was always like a waste of time. Like, what are you doing?
Mm.
But it was not my father. And I don't know how, if my mother said to me, stop it. You know, I don't know how it was going to affect me, you know. So knowing that story and seeing him, and how far he's gone, it just changed everything for me.
Mm.
And obviously, I've seen him. I booked him for it.
Music is king.
Private gig.
Oh, was it a private gig? Damn!
And one of my like relatives, one of my uncles was his kid. That's was having so dope, an 18th birthday, and they were like, "We're talking to the office, and you know, can we get a family prize?"
Yeah,
you know. So he did the party. The gig at the house. You saw that house?
I can't remember.
In Sandhurst.
I'm bad at directions. Yeah, my memory is shit.
Man, like, this kid was turning 18 and his dad was like, he said, I want Nasty Seed at my party. So, you know, I had to make it happen.
That's so
but awesome. Even that, and I forgot to follow it up. On Monday, he called me saying, yo, thank you so much. They came through. The party was amazing.
Mm.
You know, guys done very well, man.
Extremely.
You know, and I've been saying, he hasn't even started.
Yes. That's the one thing that needs to be elaborated on. Nasty way, and I'm fair to see Ngikhulumana drink a coffee. Yenza lento yenzayo, like, just talk about how you see it.
It's just always been one of those things. It's like, you just look at that person as umuntu opeva indlela vets. Do you know what I mean? You don't even keep track of what they're doing. I've never doubted anything. I'm not even an expert in the type of music he makes for me to look at him and say, nah, he should have done this, he shouldn't have done this. I've never looked at him like that. You know, from when I was learning how to make beats, my big brother was listening to him.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So I've just always looked at him as the OG. I reached out to him and I was like, yo, can I get your contacts?
Yeah, man.
I just want to be able to call you for advice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just I'm just gonna shadow you, dog.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to do anything for me.
Yes.
But I just wanna learn from you because he's done the shit that I'm trying to do.
Straight up.
Do you know what I mean?
And straight up.
He's done it well. So I'm just learning, dog. Like, this is a big homie right here,
though. No doubt.
Yes.
Learning, man.
Bless you, man.
But Vince, we gotta cut it. We've had such amazing chats. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time and thank you for your honesty and just opening up to us about how this journey from local to global has been for you guys. And I always wanted you to be close to him because I am close to him and I've gained such advantage in just my mind and my character and business, you know? So I, one thing that I've wished for was you to be close to him. But I always am very shy of prescribing things to you.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to go down as everybody else in the game. Mm. So the fact that this, when I got the call, like, yo, you interviewing this and this, I was like, Tama Koma. So thank you very much, guys. And let alone the kids and let alone just music. As men with dreams, as men with dreams that have achieved them and still dreaming even more. As men with dreams that have achieved them, dreaming more, and your dreams are not just liable to yourselves. Amaphupha enu abenefita abantu abaninzi. Mna ndingusiyabonga wakangwekazi. Ndifunde okuninzi kuni. And I cannot stress to you how I urge you to please just stay who you are and get better at it, because I know that I'm going to change the world, and I can't wait to sit and tell everybody that it was this person, it was this person, yeah, it was this person.
That's powerful.
And you guys are definitely in there. Ngiyabonga kakhulu. I hope they change your life too.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Peace.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Zulu Man with Some Power podcast series brought to you by M Studios by Old Mutual. If you want to find out more information about the facilities and resources that they offer or revisit some of their masterclasses, the time is now to visit mstudios.co.za.
Music has changed. How it makes us feel never will. The time is now to visit mstudios.co.za.